Welcome back. 8 past the hour. This is Faith Radio. When you volunteer to serve our country in the U.S. military, do you give up your right to express your Christian faith? It's beginning to seem that way. Here to update us on a troubling case involving U.S. Marine is Mike Berry, Director of Military Affairs for the First Liberty Institute. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Great to be with you.
We talked to you a couple months ago about this case, but I'm guessing a lot of our Faith Radio listeners may not be familiar with what happened to Lieutenant Corporal Monifa Sterling. First of all, tell us a little bit about Monifa personally, as you've gotten to know her, and her dedication to her Christian faith.
Well, I think that's the most important thing is first that she's a very devout Christian. Faith is something that is very important to her personally and has gotten her through many struggles in her life, to include her time in the military. And, you know, just a brief background on her. She is a young black female Marine of Haitian descent. But like I said, she is a devout Christian. But, you know, that background makes her, by definition, a minority of multiple dimensions in the Marine Corps. And as such, she found life a little bit difficult for herself at times. And she would turn to, you know, as many Marines do, turn to sources of encouragement, motivation, comfort, refuge. And for Sterling, she turned to the Bible. And that's really what was most important to her and what gave her kind of the strength to keep on keeping on every day. And of course, that's what landed her in all of this hot water to begin with.
Okay, so take us back to the situation that originally led to her court-martial and this case. Set the stage for us. What kind of office setting did Monifa work in, and what were her coworkers allowed to do when it came to decorating their workspaces?
Yeah, your typical government cubicle setup. She worked in the communications, battalion, and so she had a cubicle along with a bunch of other Marines in her section. And she looked around, and she was, you know, fairly junior, so had probably recently arrived there, and looked around and saw that other Marines had adorned their little desk areas with pictures, maybe sports team paraphernalia or whatever. And she decided to do the same for hers, but instead of kind of following along with what everybody else was doing, she chose something very personal to her, which was a paraphrase from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And she did this, number one, because it is her faith. It is something that's important to her. She actually printed it in triplicate and put it into what she described as a Trinity, you know, because she wanted to have the protection of the Trinity around her. And she also said that she did feel that she was being bullied a little bit, and she was struggling, and she just wanted to have that constant source of comfort that she could just immediately look up and see those words staring down at her, so that she would and the verse she chose was, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." So it would just remind her that, you know, that she has protection, that spiritual protection, that people who are maybe being mean to her or picking on her, that they can't really do anything to her beyond the physical or the temporal, that really, in terms of her spirit, that her spirit would remain strong.
And of course, that ties in with her role as a U.S. Marine, too. If you think about it from just even a military perspective, that verse is very appropriate. Now, Monifa's supervisor asked her to take down the Bible verse. What was her rationale for doing that when all these other Marines were allowed to have, as you said, family photos, sports paraphernalia, you name it, in their cubies?
Well, asking her is putting it lightly. That's being a little charitable. She used profanity and ordered her to remove it. And when Monifa, protested a little bit and explained that she felt that she had a First Amendment right to have the verse, especially in light of the fact that other people had things around their office, her supervisor responded, "Well, I don't like the tone." And, you know, which is telling, because what that indicates is that the supervisor first didn't immediately recognize that this was a Bible verse and not, something where she was simply trying to be combative. And secondly, that is how the supervisor interpreted it. was the supervisor interpreted Monifa as being combative by putting this Bible verse up, and didn't understand and didn't accept that this was her using this as a source of inspiration. And so that's what really the, you know, when this all led to Monifa being court-martialed for her failure to remove the verse when she was ordered to do so, and the court said, well, initially they rejected any notion that this was a religious exercise and said, you know, she wasn't doing this for religious purposes. She was doing this to be combative. She was trying to thumb her nose at her supervisor, which is, of course, number one, that's ridiculous. And number two, that is not what, I mean, for decades, the Supreme Court has said that's not the role of a judge or a court, is not to decide what is or isn't religious for somebody.
So the you're saying that the supervisor, the sergeant, whoever it was that was over her, didn't understand initially that this was a Bible verse, but Monifa said, no, this is a scripture out of Isaiah.
Unfortunately, the record doesn't, you know, the record of trial that we have, the evidence that we have, isn't very clear on exactly how detailed Monifa was in articulating that it was religious. And that's something that the appeals court recently kind of jumped on, was, well, she didn't make it abundantly clear that this was religious. And then they went even as far as to say, which is I think is highly inappropriate and offensive, as to say, well, it's not like she was a Muslim and was wearing a hijab, you know, a head covering, which would be readily obvious that it was religious. Again, there the court goes, basically saying, look, if it's obvious to us that it's religious, then it's religious. But if it's not obvious to us, then we have the right to say that it was because you were being, you were just trying to be combative, and you were in a they call it locked in an antagonistic relationship with the supervisor. You know, that's pretty outrageous for a court to say that, right? That if we can't immediately determine that what you did was religious, then you don't get the benefit of the federal law that protects religious freedom in this country. It's only things that are patently obvious.
I think we lost Mike there. We'll see if we can get him back on the line there. Mike Berry from the First Liberty Institute, talking about the case of Monifa Sterling, the Marine Corps corporal who unfortunately was court-martialed for putting Bible verses up in her cubicle. We'll see if we can get Mike on the line and hear the rest of the story up next here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. It's 18 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with Mike Berry from the First Liberty Institute. Mike is the attorney who works on cases involving the U.S. military. We've been discussing the case of Lieutenant Corporal Monifa Sterling, a U.S. Marine who was court-martialed when she refused to take down Bible verses in her cubicle, even though all of her colleagues there in the same work area were allowed to decorate their spaces any way they wanted to. They could have family photos, they could have sports paraphernalia, they could probably have pictures of little kittens, whatever it was. But unfortunately, Monifa was told, you take down those Bible verses. Mike, what happened then? Didn't she initially try to defend herself in a military tribunal?
Well, yeah, she did. She represented herself, which, of course, is always an interesting and daring move. But she actually did a great job in raising the federal law. She brought it up to the judge and said, look, this federal law says that if the government's going to take away my right to religious freedom, then there's a pretty high standard the government has to meet. The judge, you know, by all accounts, didn't really understand the federal law and how it applied to the facts of this case. And so he basically just flatly rejected to apply it, which really is what started this whole thing on its downward, you know, spiral and through the appeals process. Because then she appealed that. Well, she ended up being convicted, which I think is important to take a moment to say that in the military, if you're convicted at a court martial, that's a federal criminal conviction. So she now has a federal criminal conviction on her record for refusing to remove a Bible verse when she was ordered to do so. So it went up on appeal, and the appeals court, this is the intermediate appeals court is what we call it. The intermediate appeals court basically said, look, we don't think that what she did was religious. you know, just kind of keeping in, in this vein. And so they also refused to apply the federal law. Then it went an appeal again to the highest appeals court in the military, known as the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. It's kind of like the Supreme Court of the military. And that's when we began representing her at First Liberty Institute. And you know, if people want to know the whole background and everything that went into this, you know, just go to firstliberty.org and there's more information there than you can ever want. But so we represented her at her appeal to the highest court in the military. And before that court, you know, we really laid out the arguments, the flaws in the trial judge and the intermediate appeals court. And we just got the opinion back, the decision back last week, and they, again, denied the appeal, rejected the appeal. And their rationale was even more disturbing than the previous two, because these judges decided, or at least a majority of the judges, 4-1, decided that we didn't prove how important putting the Bible verse up was to her. And therefore, because we couldn't show that it was an important or a crucial component of her faith, then the burden on her must not have been what in what the law requires as a substantial burden. And so they said, well, it can't just be any burden. It has to be a substantial burden. And in order for the burden to be substantial, it must be really important to you. And so the only way you can show what they wanted us to do was to show just how important it was in order for the burden to be substantial. Well, that's backwards. That's not the way that the law works. And it's not on the person who is religious. It's not their burden to show how important their faith is. They can show that the burden is substantial, even if it's – I mean, here's a great example. If I drive to church on the same road every Sunday and the government decides to change the speed limit on that road from 70 miles an hour to 45 miles an hour, it now takes me longer to get to church. I have to get up earlier, et cetera. There's a burden on my ability to go to church. But the burden is not substantial. Okay? So it has nothing to do with how important it is to me to go to church on Sunday. It has to do with the fact that getting to church is now there's now something else I have to do in addition. So there's a burden on me. Now, if the government has said if it's illegal for you to go to church, obviously that would be a substantial burden. Or if the government had said, look, it's illegal for you to use that road now on Sunday mornings, you're going to have to take a different route. That would probably be a substantial burden, because now, you know, the burden is what is increasing, not how important going to church is to my faith. And the court did it the other way around. They basically, using that analogy, required me to prove how important is it to me to go to church every Sunday morning. And so that's something for many components of people's faith, whether they're Christians, Muslims, Jewish, Buddhist, etc., it's very difficult to explain why reading a Bible verse every day, multiple times each day, is so important to me. But nevertheless, it is important. Somebody doesn't put up a Bible verse in plain view if it's not important to them.
They're basically trying to read her mind. I saw a great quote from the president of your organization, Kelly Shackelford. He said, a few judges decided they could strip a Marine of her constitutional rights just because they didn't think her beliefs were important enough to be protected. If they can court-martial a Marine over a Bible verse, what's to stop them from punishing service members for reading the Bible, talking about their faith, or praying? And that's really what this comes down to, isn't it, Mike?
That's exactly right. And that is what the court did. They substituted their own judgment, their own belief about the importance of the Bible, the importance of faith, or elements of people's faith. They substituted their judgment for Monifa Sterling's beliefs. And if they can do that to her, they can do that to anybody else of any faith. And that's why people should really be alarmed and disturbed by this decision. And you know, I'll just add in here at the end that we plan on appealing this to the Supreme Court. So I encourage people to go on to firstliberty.org and keep up with this case, because this case has the potential to go to the United States Supreme Court.
Mike, we appreciate so much what you're doing at First Liberty, defending our religious freedoms, and we will continue to pray for you and your colleagues there at the First Liberty Institute. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
25 past the hour. It's Faith Radio.